Welcome to a brief spoiler special for Captain America Civil War. We are going to chat about, well, these are the things that we consider to be spoilers. So some of you guys will be thinking, what, that's in like the trailer or something. But we just didn't want to spoil it in our normal podcast for people who haven't been following all that closely. So Phil, what have you got?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think the one which I really wanted to talk about in the other episode, which I couldn't do, was how great Spider-Man was. I love Spider-Man in this movie.
He was fantastic. Do you know what? He was better. I wonder whether they specifically gave him a really bad line to say in one of those teaser trailers. Because did you see the one where he lands on that car and he goes, hello?
Yeah, I was really worried about Spider-Man.
Yeah, and that looked terrible.
Because, and interesting, that shot I thought was one of the worst looking shots of him in his costume. His costume looked really bulky. He looked really rounded and like just kind of weird. It didn't look right.
But that kind of makes you think maybe it was really clever and they chose the worst possible way to introduce him in the trailer so that when he actually turned up, he was fantastic. That guy, Tom Holland.
Yeah, a little
British guy.
Yeah.
Flawless accent, man.
He's British guy, the new superhero from
yeah,
Hasbro.
Yeah, that's right. I thought, I loved his introduction. It was one of the best, most original introductions to Spider-Man I've ever seen.
Which is really straightforward. And
yeah. It was annoying to me that Tony Stark was one who did it because I think there's a bit of a love affair with Tony Stark. I find him annoying, but yeah.
I mean, he's the moneymaker for Marvel. He's the one who's launched it and is keeping it going.
Do you think Iron Man?
Yeah, Iron Man was super successful, man. And it was in like a nothing film at that point.
Yeah, fair
superheroes
enough.
Weren't a thing.
I just find his brand of witticism is a bit irritating. It's too
it's starting to grate on me. I think the character's starting to become a bit
Yeah.
But I thought that sequence with him in his little apartment with Aunt May.
Yeah.
And just him sort of
They made good jokes out of the webbing, didn't they?
It was just pitched really well.
Yeah.
And he felt really like fresh, which is so unexpected from a character which you've seen four or five movies on.
What I can't believe is that they managed to get an actor who, I don't actually know how old Tom Holland is, but I would imagine he's closer to the age Peter Parker is meant to be than Tobey Maguire was, or even Andrew Garfield.
I think he was Tom Holland is 19, I think. And Andrew Garfield, I think, was 27, and then Tobey Maguire, I think, was also about late 20s.
Well, that's it. And those guys, they're kind of actors who can play stuff innocently or with a bit of childishness. But Andrew Garfield played it kind of cool, didn't he? He was all skateboarding. And I know that Peter Parker is a bit like that in the comics, but Tom Holland just had it right. He had the right balance. I believed that a 16-year-old, is he supposed to be 16?
Yeah, he's sort of high school age.
That kind of a kid like that actually could do this. He could swing around making little sarcastic comments. And it isn't because he's this superhuman thing. It's just that that's just what his character is like. I really believed it when Tom Holland did it.
And he was like starstruck. I really like that. I also like the Ant-Man being starstruck as
yeah.
well. I thought that was funny. And
Paul Rudd, I actually thought he was in some ways better in this than he was in his own movie.
Well, this is sort of something which I found is interesting was that all the characters were more, I liked them more in this film than I did in other films. Even Hawkeye, Jeremy Renner, I enjoyed him better.
They've turned him into a sort of comic relief somehow.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it, but they somehow managed to make...
I'm glad they realised he's a ridiculous character.
He shoots bows and stuff like that.
But
they tried to make that joke in Avengers Age of Ultron and it just fell a bit flat.
That film was, I think that was really quite bad, actually. On rewatching, I think it gets worse.
Yeah, and this is what I was saying in the other review. I don't think it really set up the conflict very well between
oh,
Captain
yes,
America
you have a problem with the very end of that.
Well, at the end of Age of Ultron, they kind of just say, oh, well done, we saved the day, and shake hands, and it's like, catch you later. See you later, Tony. Click, click. Fingers like, okay, Steve.
You feel like they had a chance to flag up what this movie was going to do.
Yeah, I thought, like, if there's been, like, this massive kind of tragic incident, which they kind of managed to help people with, but also kind of failed, you'd think probably there was some sort of finger pointing. And it seemed like perfect time for Captain America to be like, Tony Stark, look what you've done. You've done this. You've made this little... It's all because he made that AI.
But to be fair, the way that the Civil War film works out, they start off as buddies in this movie and they're not really disagreeing. It's the UN proposition that gets them disagreeing, isn't it? And then it continues to be Buck Rogers' kid. Sorry, it's not Buck Rogers. It continues to be Bucky who drives them apart, really, doesn't it? So
yeah,
it's not so much the Sokovia thing.
But the reason why Iron Man is on the side of the government this time is because he feels guilty about the what happened.
He realizes it's
Sokovia.
His fault.
And the thing is basically this film, all it really needs to do is put a mum there who's crying over her son. And somehow that was what caused everything to kind of trickle in for Tony.
Poor Tony.
Mm. Yeah. And I think it's one of the few times where I felt like they haven't put in enough sort of seeding or foreshadowing of what would come up, because they could still remain friends and still be like, oh, you've messed up here. I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, fair enough. Interesting. Okay, what else? What other spoilery things are there?
I think the other big spoilery thing is the fact that nobody died.
Well, that's not exactly a spoiler.
I think it is a spoiler because I think by this point now, there's every single film people have expected somebody to die, even in Age of Ultron. I mean, Quicksilver died in that one.
He was introduced and then dead.
Yeah, so exactly. So you didn't really care. What I think lots of people were expecting with this film in particular, partly because of the comic book it was based on, is one of the big names, one of the big heroes to die. And it seems like Marvel has backed out of that promise.
I mean, that's not really a major surprise, is it? It's kind of for the same cynical reasons that I go on and on about.
I mean, it was a surprise to me because I thought, even though they're obviously making loads of money and they really want to make money, I really thought maybe Marvel would put story ahead of any sort of franchise deals or things like that, and actually deliver a kind of death blow.
The thing is,
that
for
would
all you
cause
know,
ramifications across the universe.
For all you know, Marvel may well have wanted that, and Disney said no. This is the thing, man. It's not down to Marvel to make those creative decisions in the same way anymore. Disney own it all, so they get to make that call. They're probably going to have, you know, they've probably got theme parks or rides already being specced out, so they can't kill any of these characters off.
I think that's real shame, and it seems like this is the sort of movie when you need to have some sort of casualty. You need to have some sort of...
to ground it in like, oh, there are actually things at stake here. This is what I said to you. It's like in the build-up to this, I didn't get involved in the hype because it's slightly trumped up. The fact that they're against each other, you know nothing really is going to happen because they need the thing to continue, don't they?
They need the machine to keep on rolling.
Yeah, they've got to keep it moving so you don't take out a key part, a key cog of that wheel.
What I found really weird though was they kind of did try and do something of a takeout of one of the team members. And they even showed it in the trailer. They showed War Machine, Don Cheadle's character, getting shot down.
Blasted out the sky by the Vision.
Yeah.
He looks like he's made out of Play-Doh.
He does. But even then, it wasn't that he died. He just was sort of paralyzed, but not paralyzed.
Because he's still walking. I couldn't tell. Did he have robot legs?
Yeah, or? Tony Stark made like hyper legs. And I thought that maybe was a bit insensitive to people who have lost the ability to walk.
I don't know about that, man. I think that's... I don't think so, because it's a futuristic mega-tech society, isn't it? In some ways, I thought it was sensitive because he was clearly struggling and he didn't deny that it was... You know, he said, this sucks, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But then it's such a weird thing because it's not like he's actually died, but he's just incapacitated.
That's the equivalent, isn't it, of losing a character.
But that's such a...
And he's like the least popular, I would imagine. Yeah, he's like the kind of slightly lamer Iron Man.
I just thought that was slightly a shame because not that I want to see characters die, but I think it at this point, it's become almost like a trope that everyone's going to be fine. And I think audiences need to have some sort of thing. Well, and I wonder though, maybe we've become even more demanding of sort of death because of shows like Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead.
Game of Thrones has really thrown that against the wall. I think that's the only one I can think of that has gone for broke on that.
The Walking Dead as well is a big show. Two of the biggest shows kind of out at the moment are trading on the fact that at any point major characters could die unexpectedly, and then they're just gone and that's it. And so maybe like the whole climate of sort of these... Because it used to be, I guess, in 90s movies, whatever, you'd know the hero would be fine at the end. But now you kind of expect there to be some sort of death that would kind of...
Well, I think that's slightly debatable, but yeah, I mean, to its credit, even the fact that I went in being cynical and knowing that they were going to work it all out by the end, I actually was thrown... They hinted they had a double whammy, didn't they? So it looked like everything, oh, that was the argument, and now they've come back together again when Tony Stark goes with them to that base.
Yeah, I thought, at the end. Oh, how on earth is this going to play?
And they did that well. Actually, I believe that. I thought, oh, you know what? Actually, for a moment here, I thought maybe they might finish each other off or dispose of each other. I didn't really think that, but it did its job enough that I thought, okay.
And the whole...
Maybe that's the Russos recognizing the limitations they've got. And maybe they did that double dip fallout for that very reason.
I really did like the surprises at the ending. I thought, oh, here goes another classic superhero movie. It's building up to them fighting...
Here are the new supervillains.
Yeah, fighting six Winter Soldiers. How are they going to beat them? There's only three of them. There's six of these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they get to the sort of the evil base and they find out, oh, they're all dead. It's nothing to do with that at all. All it comes down to is a bit of information that tears them apart. I thought that actually, ironically, did you notice how Batman versus Superman plays around with the whole mother thing?
Yeah.
And that being a key part of the conflict and resolution and everything like that. And I thought it was funny how in Iron Man versus Captain America, again, it was about a mother and like that being the thing. And yet Captain America and Iron Man felt so much more satisfying as a motivation.
Well, and it's partly because it didn't bring them together. It drove them apart, to be fair.
Yeah. And the thing is, like you were saying, what drives them apart isn't that they hate each other, even. It's that they...
It's an external issue.
It's an external issue which neither of them will compromise on.
Well, and that letter at the end that Tony Stark receives from Captain America does show you that in the end, all will be well. And all manner of thing will be well, Phil.
I did feel sad about the letter. I thought that left it in a bit of a weird place because it kind of feels like that nothing's really happened.
It's a way of saying James Bond will be back in... Do you know what I mean?
Did you stay right to the very end of the credits?
Spider-Man will return.
Yeah, Spider-Man will return.
Yeah, so this is a new franchise.
Yeah, so they're going to do Spider-Man standalone movie.
I think I have very high hopes for it, which is a bad place to be. but yeah, I think it could do well. I thought it was interesting. Sorry, just to stick with this movie for a moment. I thought the kind of character that Daniel Brühl turned out to be, the sort of Machiavellian schemer.
Helmut Zemo.
Yeah, who's always doing something that you can't quite figure out what it is. I was torn between my sort of innate dislike of characters like that who have almost godlike knowledge, not only of all the characters involved, but how events are going to unfurl. They slightly annoy me because you think you can't really... The events that happen in the film don't match up with this guy's plan. For example, pretending to be the Winter Soldier so the police will go in and do, you know, capture him. There's a big deal about how the police have orders to kill on sight. And if the Winter Soldier had been shot, that would have been plan over, wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean? And so that annoyed me. And yet actually the ending of his arc satisfied me in a way that I wasn't expecting.
The fact that he knew he wasn't going to be...
Yeah, and his attempt to shoot himself. And incidentally, like, how many more super suits are going to be able to just stop a bullet by holding the gun? You know, that's starting to bug me. Everything's bulletproof, blah, blah, blah. It's starting to turn into Dragon Ball Z. But yeah, that aside, I thought the ending of that arc was quite satisfying.
Yeah, I think they earned most of the beats that the story went through.
Yeah.
And they felt like they were there for a reason rather than just to be sort of glorified spectacle or something like that. I have to say, I really loved Ant-Man becoming giant. I thought that was really fun and enjoyable and spectacular and great. I just thought that was... I didn't see it coming at all.
It was a nice moment. And well, there's the Star Wars thing that we flagged up, that flag up the Empire Strikes Back. And I was waiting for that to happen. As soon as I saw that happening, as soon as I saw Spider-Man swinging around, I thought, oh, right.
Oh, really? I didn't see it coming at all.
No, well, I thought they're going to do that to trip him up. And then I started thinking, oh, hold on a moment. Are they going to do that Disney thing that I said that I hate?
And then they did it.
And then they literally did it. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. But hey, guys, remember that really old movie, Empire Strikes Back, that's coming out on DVD again soon? yeah, I thought that was funny. Do you know, is that the Ant-Man thing, is that a callback to the fact that Goliath was in the original Civil War, this giant man, and he's the guy who dies that you're talking about?
Well, more a couple people die, actually, in the series of Civil War. It's really Captain America who died in the end of...
That's true, assassinated.
End of Civil War. And that was kind of where I thought it was going to go. But I thought
still might. Maybe
Tony Stark will die at the end, I thought. But the original comic book is way more sort of intense, and this film isn't really a telling of that story. Kind of using the title and the idea.
Well, that's what I said. They make it all about the Winter Soldier. He's the MacGuffin that just makes the fight happen. Just a final thing for me, anyway. I don't know if you've got more, but one thing that's interesting about a series like this is that how many movies now has Chris Evans been in as Captain America? So it's Avengers 1 and Avengers 2. Captain America films. That's five films.
And he made a cameo appearance in one of the Thors.
Did he?
Yeah.
So that's six films he's played the same character in. That is quite unusual, isn't it? To have that many films you're prepared to reprise your role in. They've historically had trouble with that. Like, Batman has gone through loads and loads and loads of different actors. We've just seen a new Batman, for example. It makes me wonder, A, what kind of contract did they sign? You know, how many are in their contract? And B, maybe these actors themselves just really enjoy it.
I think there must be a bit of both, because Chris Evans did say, oh, he wants to retire from acting, and he wanted to do directing. That's
Did
what
he
said. And he said, oh, once I'm done with my Marvel contract, I want to retire and do directing. And then suddenly, quite recently, he's like, oh, no, I'm signed on for like another 11 movies or something like that. Yeah, it was crazy. And like, oh, you misunderstood my earlier comments. And you wonder whether or not some Disney marketing exec was just like, Chris, stick with it.
You need to.
And then they locked him down for some more movies. But I do get the sense, like, the fact that they're attracting these big stars.
Well, that's what I mean. No one's dropping out. Like you say, I thought Tony Stark might go. The general reason that kind of thing happens is that the actor's like, sorry, mates, I've got a better role coming along, or I need to drop out of this contract to do this, or, you know, and then they kill off the character.
Yeah.
But that hasn't happened yet, so I wonder whether the actors are loving it.
And even Robert Downey Jr. is apparently keen to do a fourth Iron Man movie.
Like, surely they can't wring any more out of that wet towel.
I don't know. It's very visually stunning watching a guy in an Iron Man suit doing stuff.
It's getting a bit Transformers to me.
Interesting.
Okay, I don't have anything more to add, do you?
I think that's pretty much it. And it's not a super chatty thing about spoilers or anything like that. I'm not really that interested about where does this leave the Marvel Universe and the superheroes.
I mean, it doesn't matter, does it? Something will be released.
It'll coalesce again in Infinity Wars. I am excited about the Russo brothers directing more of these.
Yes.
And they're going to be doing the Avengers, the next two-parter finale to the Avengers.
Bye-bye, Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon done. I just wanted to comment on particularly Spider-Man and also Black Panther, which we haven't really touched on. He didn't really have much explanation to him. I thought Chadwick Boseman did a good job.
It was slightly underwritten, was my only thought with him. Like I said in the earlier review, it's not clear that whether he's got superpowers or a super suit, or they just say, oh, it's vibranium, isn't it? So therefore it's an invincible suit. And then at the end, he's got that super advanced medical facility, which can put people into hibernation, basically.
Amazing.
With a massive Black Panther statue outside of it. So there was a lot that wasn't said about him. But I agree with you. Like, he performed it well because he had a few different things to go through. He had anger, vengeance, like mercy, all that kind of stuff. And I thought he did it well. I didn't really like the suit much, though.
I thought it looked okay. It wasn't the best design ever, but it was serviceable. And I think the reason why I was interested in him as a character is partly because of what they didn't say. I thought they...
You think you liked that?
I like the fact that they didn't faff around with trying to establish who he was and make him a big deal. It was just, here's a guy, like we said earlier, here's a guy, he needs to get revenge on this guy, go. And so it was just like an extra component to, rather than just having just too explicit versus them.
There's
another guy with another motivation.
One thing I did like about him was I really enjoyed the action scene where he's chasing Captain Bucky O'Hare. I can't not do it now.
With the Winter Soldier, yeah.
Yeah. After they're trying to arrest him. And that whole chase scene is sort of based around this Black Panther hitching a ride on everyone else who's chasing this guy. And they said, oh, I can't shake him. At one point, he hangs onto a Falcon as he's flying.
He's
on the back of the car that Captain America drives. Like, he manages to chase. And I thought that's clever. That was almost... the old mold of action scenes, which kind of has a theme about it. So it's not just generic action. It was like, what else is this guy going to hang on to next?
It's like staging. Good staging.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought that was a lot of fun and I enjoyed it. I thought, well, that's quite cool. I like the idea of this character who's unafraid, so unafraid that he'll just jump onto the Falcon
whatever
guy.
Is there, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was good. That's my little thought.
That's good. I'd also agree on the staging. I think most of the staging across... all of the fights was interesting and a bit new and fresh.
Yeah.
I liked the Bucky and Captain America on the staircase.
Mm.
I thought that was good.
Yeah, it was. Okay, I think we better wrap that up.
Yeah, sorry. We're just adding little thoughts now. But right. Yeah, there we go. Captain America.
I hope you enjoyed it, guys. Let us know your thoughts. Cheers, bye.